church. So we started by looking at who or what is the church. And one of the things that we learnt was the church is the people of God. It's not a building. It's not, as Elise reminded me this week, an institution. It's a people. It's a community of men and women and children who've chosen to believe and follow in the words and the ways of Jesus Christ. This week, we're going to look more locally. We're going to be looking more at who or what is this church. We're still the people of God, but there are things about us that are distinct, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. James is going to come up in a minute and talk about some of the aspects that make us distinct as Baptists. But then I'll talk after that about just some of the other broader aspects of who we are. And the reason that we're doing this is because who we are directly affects how we discern and engage in God's mission. We're going to be looking more at God's mission next week, at the distinctives, but at how the distinctives that we'll talk about today actually help us to know who it is that God's calling us to reach and how we can best be doing that. So I'm just going to let James come up and you can talk for the next bit and then I'll come up again.
Hello.
Yes.
Good? Yeah. Hello. All right. So, yeah, as Chris mentioned, look, we're zooming in. We're zooming in gradually from the big church to us as Baptists, who are part of a family of Baptist churches in New South Wales and ACT, and then Chris is going to zoom us in further to us here at West Ryde Community Church. So, hello again. My name's James. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the leaders here. And today I'm going to provide a bit of background and a little bit of an introduction on three key beliefs of Baptists that we share and about the Baptist movement of which we're part. And this is particularly important and timely for us considering that we've just changed our name. So we were West Ryde, what were we? Baptist Church. I'm starting to forget what we were. And now we're West Ryde Community Church. But that doesn't mean we're not Baptist. So we definitely are a Baptist church, and we'll see what that means in a moment. And I'm going to look at three key beliefs. What do Baptists think about the Bible, the church, and about baptism? But let me just pray, and we'll get stuck in. Father, help me to speak your words. Let what I say help this church today to understand the rich tradition of which we are part and understand how it plays a part, not only in the past, but in the future of this church here at West Ryde. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll start by talking about the Bible. So their first belief, the Bible, which I would argue is actually the foundation of all of the beliefs of the Baptists. What is the part of the Bible in our church and in our lives? Well, for Baptists, the Bible is the supreme authority in all matters of faith and conduct. That might sound straightforward, but it's actually, there is no human authority. There's no church tradition. There's no church or civil government, culture, media, society that has a greater standing, that has more authority for us who believe than the Bible. And it might seem that the Bible doesn't address all of our modern issues, our concerns, our dilemmas, and our life, because it doesn't tell us in detail sometimes how to live. But what it actually does is provide a framework, like the framework of a house, of a building site that holds it all together. It provides a moral framework for our life. And it provides a measuring stick to test our ideas and our practices. It doesn't tell us in detail, but it tells us how to measure, how to evaluate what is good and what is right. And of course, it defines the broad principles of the church. Obviously, there's lots of diversity in various denominations of the church, and very, very much diversity in the Baptist movement as well. And it talks about the broad principles. So what that means for us is that God is actually inviting us to read the Bible. He's inviting us to read the Bible individually and together. And we need to do that with a soft heart, letting it shape our life individually, and all as we read it together in church on a Sunday, in connect groups, and other opportunities that we come together to listen to God. We need to let it to shape our lives together. Let it shape the decisions that we make together. But the challenge there is we actually need to work quite hard. We need to work hard to understand and apply the Bible. And sometimes there might not be obvious or easy answers. And that's why it's important that we come together. We hear from each other as the Holy Spirit speaks to us all. So the challenge there is, will you commit to reading the Bible together? There's an opportunity right now to join a connect group, and those will continue. Will you commit to making it your priority to meet together to read the Bible? The next one is about the church. What is the church? What is God's church? Well, it's quite simple. It's people with faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, which, again, might sound fairly obvious. But 400 years ago, not very long in the scheme of things, when the Baptist movement was just getting started, this was actually quite a controversial statement. And people left the homeland for other countries because they were in danger for these sorts of statements. Because what it meant, unlike some of the other churches at the time, was that it wasn't through human practices of circumcision, of baptism, of belonging to the traditional families that belonged to the church. It was only people with faith that are part of God's church. And flowing from that is that we believe that all of us, all believers, are given gifts for effective service and called to serve and witness. Because there's no mediators that stand before you and God. There's no priests or anyone else. There's no one who has any special standing or a special claim to God more than you do. Not me as a leader, not Christine as a pastor or David. No one else has a special claim more than you do. But it's because we value each other and the gifts that God has given each other, the very different gifts, that we choose to come together. We choose to join together as a local church here at West Ryde. And this itself is a voluntary act of submission. Okay? We actually make promises to each other. We commit to each other. We make promises to God as well. That we'll work towards the shared mission of this church. We make decisions, not individually, we make decisions together because we value the way that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, God calls people to positions of oversight and leadership in the local church. And we need to honour and respect those people to whom God has called to have that special responsibility. So God invites us and invites you, because we're all different, because we need each other, to serve each other. And I want to invite you to discover the special ways that God has made you, to understand how those special ways build this picture of how we work together as a church. How can you contribute your gifts and your skills that God has given you for our benefit together as we work towards our mission here at West Rye Community Church? There is a little bit of a challenge though, because making decisions together is actually hard. It's quite hard at times. And there's a lot of decisions in front of us as a renewed church. We will need to come across and make lots of decisions in the future. And so there can be a tension between our responsibility together to make those decisions and the roles of the leaders that God has put into the church. And so my challenge there is we all need to, whether we're leaders or not, come together in a spirit of humility, okay? Come together and work through those things as the local church and deal with that natural tension that God has given us. And the last one I wanted to talk to you about is baptism, or to be more specific, believer's baptism. So what is it? It's a simple public declaration of a person's faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. So unlike what other traditions might say, it's actually not a requirement for salvation to be baptised. What it is, however, is a public sign or symbol that you already believe. It's evidence that you believe in a public way. And Baptists believe that it should be only administered by total immersion. And there's a bit of language there, but basically what it means is all of your body goes under the water in simple English. And why that is because it's actually most closely following the traditions and practices of the early church as we see it in the New Testament. And it's modelling Christ's death and his resurrection. So it's a practical symbol, as well as what people often say when they are baptised, they give testimony. But you have the two coming together as a demonstration of faith. The invitation there is that God wants all who believe to undertake this practice of baptism. Why? Not because there's anything magical about it, but because he wants us all to declare our faith publicly. And it's actually a wonderful public way of doing that. And it's a very encouraging way to do that for us as the local church, to see people come to faith and then to demonstrate that in a public act in that way. The challenge there is that that can be actually difficult for some people, because again, we're all different, and that can be difficult in different ways. But I remember, I don't know if you all know, but my family is not yet Christian. They don't yet believe Jesus, and so I remember that being quite a difficult thought process and decision to actually become baptized. But then obviously. Show them that in front of them. So that might be, if that's one of you, if you're one of those people that might find that a difficult thing to think about or do, come and ask me, come and ask Chris, come and ask a friend. We'd love to talk to you about that that act, because it's a wonderful thing. And so now we've got, I guess I've zoomed you down on three key things that make Baptists a little bit different. And Chris is going to zoom us down a little bit further into our community here, our local church. So I'll just hand over back to Chris. Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, James. Okay, so James has just given us just this brief look at some of the things that are distinct about us because we're Baptists. It's not a comprehensive list. And some of those things that James mentioned will be found in other churches, obviously, like the basis of the Bible. But they are all things that you will find in all the Baptist churches of New South Wales. because they're essential to who we are. So it means that you could go into any Baptist church in New South Wales and know that their core beliefs are going to be the same as ours. Now, that doesn't mean that everything about all Baptist churches is going to be the same. And if you've been into other Baptist churches, you'll know that that's true. The reason is that God doesn't actually want us to be the same. He doesn't want us to all do the same things and look the same. He's made us different, and he wants us to use the diversity that we have to reach the different people in our different contexts. If we were all the same, there'd be a lot of people who are different to us that we wouldn't be able to engage with as well. Our individual church communities are going to look different depending on who is part of them and what context they meet in. If you look at the history of this church, you'll see that it's changed a lot over the years. I'm sure if you ask Dorothy, she'll be able to tell you there's been incredible change in this church over the years. But I want to say that it's going to keep on changing because the community around us keeps on changing and the people that God brings in the doors keeps on changing. So if we want to stay relevant and continue to have a witness, we need to be willing to keep on changing too. But instead of being afraid of our differences or afraid of change, I want to say it's actually a strength. Our differences are a strength because they allow us as an individual church community to shape our own identity, to shape our own practice in such a way that we're relevant and we're accessible to the community around us, to people who don't yet know Jesus. As Baptists, as James mentioned, we get to make decisions about our collective life together. We decide how often we meet, when we meet, where we meet. We make decisions together about who's going to lead us, about how decisions will be made, about what programs we use, about how we use our property, about what our worship is going to look like. Together we decide what is the vision that God's given to us and how are we going to reach the community. There's no one right way of being the church. But I think sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that our way is the right way or that our way is the best way. We think that other churches should do it the way we do it. Well, that's actually not what the Bible teaches. And usually that's more related to our personal preferences, our culture, or our traditions. See, the Bible isn't a prescriptive set of rules for how to be the church. What we have been given, though, is some guidelines and some principles, and they're based on the life and the teaching of Jesus. So if you want to know how to be the church, you actually need to read the Gospels. We've also been given models and patterns of what the early church looked like through the letters that we've got from Peter and Paul and John, and especially from Luke in the book of Acts. We're going to look at Acts next term, but the book of Acts gives us this window into the life of the early church, particularly the church in Jerusalem. In Acts 2, 42 to 47 that Saha read out to us, Luke gives us this description. He says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's not really an exact replica of our church life here together. But when I read those verses, I am so inspired because they tell me that when the church functions the way that God intended for his people to function, people are saved. When the church lives as the distinct people of God in the community, people see. People notice and they want what the church has. People are saved. I mean, if you look at these verses, what are some of the things that stand out as distinct about this early church? We see that they were devoted. They were devoted. They were committed to God. They were committed to each other. But they were also committed to the people around them knowing Jesus. They were united. We read that all of the believers met together every day. They were generous. They shared everything they owned with people who were in need. That's generosity. They were hospitable. They opened their homes and shared what they had, including meals. They were inclusive. They intentionally included outsiders, something completely foreign to their religious background and their culture. They included people who were not like them, who spoke differently to them, who ate differently to them, who had different ways of doing life. They were included. They were a bold and a courageous witness, much like Paria this week. And they grew. We're told that the Lord added daily to their numbers. Clearly, being a Christian in the early church was about way more than just a set of beliefs that you have or your own personal faith. And I want to say it is anything but private. There is nothing private about being a Christian. That's something that the church has invented to make us feel comfortable about ourselves and give us an excuse for not being the church. Your belief in Jesus Christ and my belief in Jesus Christ was intended to be lived out in community with other like-minded believers, but done in a way that was visible to the local community. It wasn't intended to be hidden behind closed doors. Luke, when you read through the book of Acts, makes a strong connection between a person's personal faith and their lived out commitment to a local church community. For Luke, those two things go hand in hand. You don't have one without the other. It was their love for God, their love for each other, and their love for the world that was lived out in this visible way that became a distinctive of the early church and the people of God. I look at this and I wonder, would Luke see this strong connection in each of us? Would he look at our lives and see that our personal faith is evident in our community, in this church, in our commitment to this church? Is it evident to the people around us? These same things that were distinctive about the early church, if Luke was looking at our church, would he say they were distinctive of us? Are we devoted to God, to each other, to our mission? Are we united? Are we generous, hospitable, inclusive? Are we a bold and courageous witness that leads people to discover Jesus and the kingdom of God? You know, I'm often asked by people about our church. What's it like? How is it different to other churches? So I'm just going to ask you, what are some of the things that you think are distinct about our church? If you think of our church, what's some things that you think are distinct about us? Good relationships?
Diversity?
Sharing? Nice. Great working bees. Female pastor. Yes, that's definitely different.
It's 3 days of English class.
Our English conversation classes. Yep. Here's some of the things that I thought of. Now, again, this is not an exhaustive list. There's lots of things that we could add to it, and maybe you can talk about it over morning tea. But this is some of the things that I thought of, and they're things that crop up when I'm in conversations with people about our church, and they ask questions. We have a big property. We have lots of space, mostly unused. We don't have any debt. We're in a great visible position here on Victoria Road, close to shops, to housing, to businesses. We're a small family-sized church, which makes it easy for us to know each other, to know when someone new has come into our space. We are a healthy, committed congregation, and it gives me incredible joy to be able to say that. We are a Bible-based church, friendly, welcoming, and inclusive, culturally diverse. We have a female pastor. We have team leadership. Our church is led by a team of leaders. We share the decision making. We share the authority. We have one service. We do that because we don't want to separate the different generations in our church. We want our children to be interacting with those who are more senior. We want our young families to be mixing with our older families so that we can be sharing knowledge, sharing wisdom, sharing life experience, and also so that we can be encouraged by some of the energy that they bring. We're ascending in a networking church. We're very kingdom focused. We're not isolated in a silo. We recognise we're part of the broader family, not just of Baptist churches, but of other followers of Jesus. We're community-based and we're outward-looking. We form partnerships, we share resources. As a leader, I meet with other local church leaders. We support each other, we pray together. We look for ways, particularly in West Ryde, that we can be working together for the common good of our whole community. We are an empowering church. We have a discipling culture. We're seeking to be transformed across all areas of our life together. And there's one that's not up there that I would add, and I would say that we are a gracious church. You know, student pastors come into our church, and I know I felt this myself 8 years ago. You can preach a sermon, and it might not be that great, but people still love you in that, and people still encourage you. People still support you. And there is an incredible grace that's found in this church that you don't find in all churches. We would like to be good and to have excellence, but we don't desire perfection to the point where people can't engage if they're not perfect. Are these found in other churches? Of course, many of them are. But these are all things that are distinctive of our church. They are all things that describe something about who we are and about what's important to us here at West Ryde Community Church. Clearly, there is something distinct about this church family because you've all chosen to be here. And I've chosen to be here. There's plenty of other churches we could choose, but we've all chosen to be part of this church family. Why did you choose to come here? It could have been that you wanted a small family-sized church. It could have just been the practical aspect of being close to public transport. Maybe it's the cultural diversity or the one service or that it's Baptist drew you here. Maybe it's because it was recommended to you by someone. or that you saw an opportunity for you to serve and to use your gifts for the kingdom of God. Or maybe you just obeyed the promptings of the Spirit of God and came here. I want to say that for whatever reason you chose to come here, whatever caused you to choose Westride Community Church to be your spiritual home, I want to say that I'm incredibly glad that you did. Because you are now part of what makes us distinct from other churches. Your gifts, your abilities, your passions, your life experience, all of those things now help us to be who we are. It doesn't matter if you're old or young, working, retired, studying, white Anglo, Korean, Persian, it doesn't matter. We each bring something that makes this church who it is. You help us to move closer to achieving God's vision of the kingdom of God being lived out here on earth as it is in heaven. What's distinctive about us? It's you and I together being the people of God, living out our personal faith in a commitment to this church community so that the broader community around us can see and know Jesus. When I look at us, I see a glimpse of the kingdom of God that's described by John in Revelation 7, where in a vision he sees a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, nation, people and language, all standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb in worship. We're not perfect. In fact, we're miles from perfect. But we're the people of God. And our church, such as it is a glimpse into the kingdom of God. And you and I are part of that. We get to embody God's presence in Westride and make him known. Next week, we're going to look more at how we do that. And Paria is going to be coming up and sharing in a part of that message. But right now, I just want us to close in prayer. And I want us to thank God for this church, for who we are. And I want you to just stop for a moment before I pray and to sit before God and to ask him, what role is he asking you to play in this church? It will look different for all of us because we are different, but that's our strength. How is God asking you to contribute to the life of this church? Just sit with God for a moment, and then I'll pray.